Okay, so what we finally have been trying to get up to for the last 3 weeks is the question of what happens when you take your talus off, or for that matter, your talus cotton off. How does it work with making a bracha on it when you put it back on? This is very common, especially in the summertime when people go swimming. So when they go swimming, they take the talus cotton off for whatever it is, 2-3 hours, however long you go swimming for. The question is, you have to make another bracha when you put it back on. So we started last week, and this is what we'll pick up from last week, is source number one is the Shulchan Aruch and Siman Ches. Mechabe writes, in Pasha Talis, if a person takes off his talus, he plans on putting it on right immediately afterwards. Let's say the classic example is you go to the bathroom. So you go to the bathroom, you don't plan on being there for so long, you take your talus off, says the Shulchan Aruch, tzarech levarech kishiyachzib yisatibos. According to Mechaber, when you put the talus back on, you'd have to make a new brach. That's the sheet of the Mechaber. So according to the Mechaber, it doesn't seem to matter the amount of time the talus is off, but once you take the talus off, the bracha is no longer valid, and a new bracha would be required. Comes along the Ramah, and the Ramah says not so fast. Says the Ramah, no, some people say that you do not have to make a new bracha if you had in mind to put it back on. Meaning, I took off my talus to go to the bathroom. I didn't think I'd be out for so long. Then, says the Ramah, I don't have to make another brach. Now, we'll have to see, even according to Ramah, there has to be some cutoff. Meaning, there has to be some limit, even according to the Ramah, where we're going to have to require a new brach. But according to the Ramah, most typical cases, let's say, for example, you take off your talus to go to the bathroom, you take off your tzitzis to change shirts. So according to the Ramah and Shulchan Aruch, you would not need to make a new bracha, while according to the Mechaber, you would need to make a new bracha. Now we'll just finish off the Ramah. The Ramah concludes, V'yeshayimim didavka kishenisha olav talus katan. Some people say this whole din is only if you still have a talus katan on. Meaning we'll see later on in the Paiskim that there's a big factor over here that the bracha of the talus katan is very much connected to the talus katan. Because we know that if we put on a talus katan in the morning and then we go to shul, we don't make a bracha on the talus katan, we just make a bracha on the talus gadol, and it goes on both. So the Ramah seems to say that if you're going to take off your talus gadol and your talus katan is still on, which is almost always the case in shul when you take off your talus to go to the bathroom or the like, then you for sure don't have to make a new bracha. So we have a l'chayra, the answer to our question is, let's say, for example, you want to take off your talus to go to the bathroom, so for the Mechaber, you have to make a new bracha, for the Ramah, you would not have to make a new bracha. Now, what about going swimming? Let's say you take off your talus cotton to go swimming. So again, when you take off your talus cotton to go swimming, you don't have the talus cotton on anymore. So that Ramah you don't have. But we'll see, the Mishnah Berurah says we don't really paskin so much like that opinion, as long as it's immediate. So l'chayra, so let's say you want to go swimming. So swimming is tricky. Because we don't know, so first Svaradim, swimming is a no-brainer. You take off your talus cotton to go swimming, you gotta make another brach. What about Ashkenazim? So it's hard to know what would the limits be according to the Ramah. Would there ever be a limit according to the Ramah? But l'chayru, what does come out is that these are all cases where you had das to put it back on. What we started to talk about last week is what happens when you took off your talus gadol with no intent of putting the talus gadol back on. What's the classical case? Let's say it's Rish Chodesh. So after Rish Chodesh, you take off. So after Halal and Laning, then you take off your tefillin. Because you don't say the tefillin with the musaf with the tefillin. Let's say this happened to me, I'm not going to deny it happened to me once, that I forgot, and I took my talus off also. So then, it wasn't daitoi lach zolasate if I thought davening was over. So what would be in that case? So we spoke about, we'll talk about this later, let's say between the Yom and the Rima are shortly coming upon us. So in many shuls you have a nice break. Let's say, for example, many shuls have a break between shofar and shachris, which we've had shurim about in the past, whether that's a good idea or not to eat before shofar. But okay, so you take your talus off and you plan on going to downstairs, and we'll talk about if it matters where you're going. Let's say the kiddush is in the shul, the kiddush is in the basement, kiddush is in someone's house. Or let's say Yom Kippur time, where there's a much larger break between shachris and musaf, if you're lucky, and then you want to take off your talus, go home, take a nap, and come back. What happens then? So the pashtus would be that's all included in this machlokes Mechaber Ramah. According to the Mechaber, you have to make a bracha, while according to Ramah, we don't know exactly what the guidelines are. So the Mishnah Berurah over here explains to us what's going on over here. Mishnah Berurah explains the number two, Tzarech Levarech, why does the Mechaber hold you have to make a new bracha when you take your towels off, even though it's Daite Lachzer? I feel initial of talus cotton if you keep your talus cotton on. I feel I'm taking the satif, but even if you put it on immediately afterwards. You don't even move places. What's this an example of? Let's say you're in shul, and there's a lot of bachrim in the minyan. and Bochum don't wear talus, and the Bochum gets called up for an aliyah, so you give him your talus. You didn't move, you didn't change. At least in the bathroom case, you move to another area, which the Mishnah Berurah says doesn't make a difference. But I feel loyishin mekayim. Your mom is in the same spot. You're sitting in your spot. You gave off your talus to the guy to go make another bracha. He'll be back in 2 seconds. Says the Shulchan Aruch, he needs to make another bracha. Why? Says the Mishnah Berurah, the hafshita gufa hefseku. Taking it off is a hefsek. Now the truth is, I want to connect this to another sugya which we spoke about a few years ago, which I want to reanalyze this tonight because it's very negeya. We've spoken about in the past that the Matat Ephraim brings down a minug that many people check the tefillin and mezuzahs in the month of Elul. We mentioned that's not a chiv, it's only a nice thing to do. But the shayla is, when you take your mezuzah off, do you have to make a new bracha when you put it back on? So many, many poskim connected to this sugya. It's the same sugya. Mezuzah on the wall, talus on your body, it's the same sugya. So we're going to try to work it out. So what exactly would be the din? If, let's say, for example, you take your mezuzah off the wall at 10 o'clock in the morning to check it. And I'm not talking about where they found psulim. If they found psul, then avadi, you have to make a new bracha. But they check the mezuzah and everything is fine. So the chayra, is that similar to the case of a talus that falls off of you, which, according to the mechaber, sounds like you got to make a new bracha. According to Ramah, it should depend on how much time elapsed. So when we get a clear number of what the Ramah holds for time, we'll be able to apply it to mezuzah. So let's keep in mind, what we're saying by talus is going to be very relevant for mezuzah.
Are we trying to define what the ma'is and mitzvah is? I mean,
the mitzvah ends. The mitzvah is for it to be on the wall. So now it's not on the wall, so it's a break in the mitzvah. So the mitzvah is the talus to be on my body. So the moment the talus comes off my body, it's presumably a break in the mitzvah. Pashtus. There might be lomdish other ways around it, but that would be the simple analysis. Now, the problem is what do you do with tefillin? I mean, shouldn't tefillin be the same thing? Tefillin's on your body, you take the tefillin off, that's a break, it should require no mitzvah. So we'll see the Mishnah Berurah gets around that issue. So the Mishnah Berurah continues over here. He explains the other sheet. What's the Ramah? The Ramah says you don't need to make a bracha. Why? According to Mishnah Berurah, a simple reading of the Ramah, even if when I took off my talus, I'm not wearing a talus cotton. V'chein pasku achreinim. Vatama Yeshayim with the kivin the base hafshita he died to take if the love shoy v'chein also loy have a hafshita hefsek. So Mr. Bruce says pshat in the Ramah is that there's no real hefsek. Since I planned on it, this is all part of the idea, and therefore says Mr. Bruce, since I'm doing it immediately afterwards, it's not considered a hefsek. It's not considered a hefsek. I don't even make a new brach. Then the Mr. Bruce says, now vafilu mshinu mekayim time if you switch places kain shapasha loy selikanes the base akise v'chokiyetzba you switch locations loy have yashinu makam as a hefsek. Because he put the same talus back on. Now, what does it sound like from the Mishnah Berurah? Let's say you switch talisim. Let's say, we'll talk in a minute, let's say you switch talus cotton. Let's say many people have a practice on Friday afternoon, they switch for a weekday talus cotton to a Shabbos talus cotton. So then they have to make a new brach. We'll see a cute case that came up in the Achrayim. Let's say you go to the bathroom on Shabbos, and you put your talus down, and the talisim get swapped. So now you're wearing someone else's talus. So now when you put his talus back on, then you realize it's not your talus. So then when I put my talus back on, do I have to make a bracha on my talus? Till now we're talking about it's your talus, everything's yours. Now you're switching it up. What would happen then? That would be, let's say, for example, maybe like you take your mezuzah down, you put up a new mezuzah. So we'll have to see what happens in that case.
In that case, the talus, you weren't even allowed to make a bracha on that
one. Right. It wasn't even yours. Right. It wasn't even your talus. Right, it was a toss. So Mr. Bruce says over here at the end, he says, why is it different than going to the bathroom when you take off your tefillin? Because you can't wear tefillin in the bathroom. That's a complete hefsek. So you really allowed to wear talus into the bathroom. Okay, so the Mishnah Berurah is explaining to us the difference between going to the bathroom with your tefillin versus going to the bathroom with your talus. Then the Mishnah Berurah just explains to us some other scenarios, which are, we mentioned this last week, but it's kedai rechazu. Mishnah Berurah says, v'da, de'im be'es ha'pshito, ha'pshoto lo yha v'dai delo v'shmiyad rak achersman. Let's say when you took off your talus, you didn't plan on putting it on right away. Let's say maybe the example would be Yom Kippur. I spoke about this last week. Let's say you have a Hatzolah guy. A guy takes off his talus to go on a Hatzolah call. He's thinking, I'm out of here for 3 hours. Then Avsha Acher came Chazav and started by Miyad. And this happens a lot. I have a Tzal member in my shul very often. He takes off his talus, he runs out, and there's enough members to cover it. So he comes back into shul, or they don't need him. So then, when he took off that talus, he was thinking, I'm done with talus for the next hour. Then says the Mishnah Berurah, Kuli Alma Tzarech Lachos Levarach. Then you got to make a brach. I feel Nisha Olav Talas Katan. If you still want the Talas Katan, why the take of Shepashta? Azal La Mitzvah. You took off the Talas. You were done. As far as you were concerned, you checked out of Talas. You need to make a new brach. Then the Mishnah Berurah says, what about the other way? Vuadin Lahepach. In Be'esa Pshita, how you died the law of Shemiyad. Let's say I took off my talis with the intention to put it on right away. Then, right? I go to the bathroom, I take off my talis, then all of a sudden they tell me they need me downstairs, they're making a kiddush, there's an asik, there's a this, there's a that, and I don't get my talis back on. Then the kulayam, tzarech lach luvarach, I feel nisha, I'll have talis katan. So the rule of thumb basically is, and Reb Chaim Kanevsky brings this out, it's kamat meduik in the Mishnah Berurah. No one talks about time. No one says what's the time limit. If you look at the Mishnah Berurah, it's all about what? Hesech Daita. That's the deciding fact. And that's what Reb Chaim Kanevsky passes Allah Lamaisa. He doesn't buy into what many Achronim buy into, that there's a clock. If it's X amount of hours, that's too late. Where does it say anything about hours? Doesn't say anything hours. Says Reb Chaim Kanevsky, it's Meduik in the Mishnah Berurah like this. It's all about Das. So if you have Das to put it on right away, it's not a Hefsek. If you have Das to put it on, again, whatever Hesech Das means, then you have to make a new Brach. We mentioned from the Mishnah Berurah number 3, Mishnah Berurah says that the imposhed oise b'teichat fil, if you took your towels off middle davening, I feel b'stoma havikimoshe poshed oise al das lachzer. That's already with intention al das lachzer. V'chenim kiploi, if you folded it, v'hinicha b'teich kisi, if put into the bag, havikimoshe poshed oise b'feirish al das shloi lachzer. So that's poshed. Guy folds up his talus. Let's say, for example, guy folds up his talus after davening, and then he realizes there's a bris and shul, and they want to give him a kibbutz. So he wants to put on his talus. So again, there you can clear. Maybe you don't have to wear because he's only doing it for cover. But let's say he wants to wear the talus with a bracha, then he has to make a bracha because he took it off al das to be finished, and now he has to make a bracha.
And taking it off versus falling off.
We're going to talk about falling it off, but Lineda later today also. What happens when the towel slips off versus consciously taking it off, which is also negated to the mezuzah, where the mezuzah falls off the wall versus when I consciously take it off the wall. So we mentioned from the Kaf HaChaim source number 4, the Kaf HaChaim writes, V'cheinim hiflef begod of a lovish talis cotton acher. Let's say you switch clothing, you switch talis cotton. So let's say, for example, we spoke the last couple of weeks about playing sports and sitzes. So let's say, for example, you have a special pair that you wear for sweaty, which is what I try to do. I have a pair that I wear when I sweat, so I don't really care what happens to it so much. It's not bizei mitzvah like Reb Chaim Kanevsky told us. So therefore, then when I switch from one beggar to the other, I have to make a bracha. Says the Kaf HaChaim, miyad achas sheposh the rishon yivarech al zeh chodesh, you make a new bracha on the second one. So this is very relevant. I mentioned before for those people who switch talis katans on Friday for covered Shabbos. Now we're going to talk about the shayla that happened to me, and I think it happens to many people. Is what happens on Rosh Chodesh. Let's say on Rosh Chodesh you forgot and you took your talis off with your tefillin, and then you realize, oh wait, we hadn't davened most of yet. What do you do now? So the Das Torah, the Marsham, writes in number 5, V'imposhed ha-talos betos. Let's say you took your talos off betos. Shehoye sovah shekvah nigmar ha-tfil. You thought davening was already over. V'niska tekev, sheye shoye tfil, it's musaf afonav. Then you realize, we still have musaf. Or I guess the same case, you can make the same, similar case. Let's say you're davening at a bris, and then you realize after davening, you take off your talos. And he goes, no, they're giving me kvater, they're giving me sandik, I want to wear my talos. So again, so there you can argue that maybe the Levishas HaTalos is just covered so you can be makeup. But it's a similar idea. When you took off your talus, it was betos, because you didn't realize you're supposed to keep it on. So says the Marsham, he says, Yeshul Ayin Lahafsik. So he says, Yeshul Ayin, he writes over here, V'achanami Yeshul Medoy Odev Mizevet Tzarech Levarach. The Pasha says you should have to make a bracha. He writes, Achlefi Mashikasev Abachu Magan Avram. To be nisher of talis katan, gam b'stam ein tzarech levarach. He says, but there is a minority opinion that says that even if you took it off stam, as long as you're wearing a talis katan, you don't have to make a bracha on the talis katan, which the Mishnah Berurah didn't really hold of. So it says the Marsham, the chosh nisher of talis katan, dain lo yisich daitim ha-mitzvah, tzarech in katan. So he's not picking sides. So the Marsham is not paskling, what do you do in such a case where you take your talis katan off and you realize you want to put it back on, you took it off accidentally. So he wants to say, maybe you could be semich on those paiskim that hold, that as long as he's still wearing a talis katan, which is almost always the case in shul, so then you don't have to make a new bracha. He doesn't want to pass.
Why does the talis katan really play a role?
Right, it's a separate chiyuv. It's a separate chiyuv. One's a talis gadol. That's what we're going to get to in a second. The Debrei Tzina Rav is going to lay it out a little clearer. So the Debrei Tzina Rav, the Be'er Moshe, also talks about the shaylo. He says like this. He says, "Umasha achaza levar hashaylo." I'm going to explain the shaylo a little bit. The kaimalon imsha. He. This is the beauty of Torah. He's mitzayin to us to a sugyo about afikoymen. Now, what does afikoymen have to do with the price of tea in China? So that's the gadlus haTorah, where everything is connected to everything. So he says like this. He says there's a halacha in Shulchan Aruch about afikayimin. Im shochach v'leochal afikayimin. Right? Let's say he forgot to eat afikayimin, which has happened to me also. One year I forgot. I was very tired. So what do we do? So after benching, so what do? We did Kaddish Shulchan Aruch Tzofon Baruch. So for some reason, right, we did Shulchan Aruch. And then we skipped and we went straight to benching. I put the kids to sleep or something, and then I woke up and I started to bench. I realized I never got to tzofen. I forgot tzofen. Right? Okay, so this is all real events. All real happened to me. So the Shulchan Aruch writes, what happens in such a case? And you already washed your hands for my machreinim. And you already said, let's start to bench. So now you crossed the threshold. You can't go back now and start to eat. So says the mechaber. So then, oichal afikoyim b'lo bechas hamoitzi. He eat afikoyim without hamoitzi. You don't make another hamoitzi. You just eat afikoyim. Because of Azar Mishtaburu, the Mishtaburu writes, Da'av the besimikov ayin test yeshoimim. Shim, I don't know if that's yeshoimim or yuralf, I didn't look it up. Shim omr, havalom v'nevara, hav hesakadas. Even though we know that when a person says less bench, that's a fancy way of saying I am done eating, and therefore all the brachas are no longer valid. So if the brachas are no longer valid, why don't I need to make a new hamaitzi? Says the Debet Sidi Rav, Hocha, atacha de rachmona samchina. Meaning, even though normally when a guy says Havlon v'nevarech, it's a testimonial that I want to stop eating, but over here Hashem overrides that because Hashem says no, you didn't eat afikayim yet. So even if I personally want to end my meal, Hashem says I'm sorry, the meal doesn't end until you eat afikayim. So there's such a svara, says the Debrei Tzinyur Rav, that your das is subjected to what Hashem wants you to do. Very nice. You want to stop eating, but Hashem says the meal's not over yet. So how does that connect to us? So you see, once they hear also, you thought you're taking off your talis, but you have to still wear a talis because you have to have a musaf. So even though in your mind you made up you're not wearing a talis anymore, but since Hashem says no, you got to wear, again, here it's obviously not the same level, but since you're supposed to wear a talis for musaf, so it's ki'ilu your das gets overran by the das of davin. That's his comparison. So it says in the Debrei Tzinyur Rav, Ubid Rav Heita B'Machta Shekel, Yirish HaMishtabur, Mata Kemat Losh HaMachta. Okay, good. V'imkei, B'Shei Lo Seinu, Daloi B'Eis, Kriyas HaHalol Yod Dashet Tzarech L'Spal Mosef. When you were saying Halol, you knew you didn't have a Mosef. V'Oid Yoy, he said, Daloi B'Tzil Shemen Esri, Ba'atzma Oma Yal V'Yovay. He says, how do I know that you knew all this? Because you said Yal V'Yovay in Shacharis, and you're saying Halol. You know that you're supposed to have a Mosef. And you know that when you daven musaf, you wear talis. So he says the same way that you know that you have to eat afikoyimin. So when you said havlo menavarech, it doesn't include it. So also, you knew you're supposed to daven with a talis, and you knew you're supposed to wear a talis by musaf, and you knew you didn't do that yet. So when you took off your talis, you didn't mean to take off your talis yet. Okay. So I told you last week that's not what I did. When this happened to me, I made another bracha. I didn't think, that's because I didn't know as much as the Debrei Tzinyur Rav knows. I didn't make the tzushtel. Now again, the tzushtel might be not necessarily a perfect tzushtel, but he thinks it's a good tzushtel. Again, the masham was misopik. The Debrei Tzinyur Rav thinks it's posh, you don't make another bracha. Why? Because he says that since you knew you're supposed to daven musaf, and you knew you didn't daven musaf yet, and you knew musaf comes along with a talis, so it's ki'ilu, you made up in your mind that it's not the end of the davening yet. Okay? So if you look in the Chaya Alevi by Rabbi Vosner, he writes, Ulefize, Nimtza, not Shmuel Vosner, I think it's either a son or a grandson, Nimtza l'chayra de'im echad, but he starts off like me. That based on the sugya, based on the Mishnah Berurah, it sounds like that what? That when you take off your talis at the end of davening, and you take it off, not daidoy lof shemiyad, not to put it on right away, but you take it off and you start to put in your talis back. Our case, a guy took off his talis after Rosh Chodesh, I forgot about Musaf. That's real Hesachadas. Given Shabachoyom, Kipash, the Achatrila, Shabane Lovshon. But he writes, Ochem re'iz mishas chus ma'ri shtaif. Ebyonis in shtaif. I want to talk, hopefully, either in this year, we'll talk a little bit about some of the controversy about the Kastner train. It's one of my favorite topics, is the Kastner train. Kastner was a very interesting person, Rudolf Kastner, later known as Israel Kastner. But on that train of the people who survived, about 1,600 Jews who survived, happens to be Ebyonis in shtaif was one of the people who survived. How he got on the train, we'll have to talk about maybe at some point. But he was on that train with Ebyonis. Rabbi Yoel Tarabam was on that train. One of the famous people that survived was Rabbi Yonason Steif, and we'll talk, hopefully we'll get to it later, about Dayan Fisher, what his connection is to the Kastner train, and we'll get to that at some point. Rabbi Yonason Steif was, Bavos, he was saved on the Kastner train in 1944. So he writes this. Rabbi Yonason Steif, everyone knows, became a big Dayan, a big Pesach here in New York when he came from Hungary. So he writes this. Dr. Rabbi Yonason Steif, that Shetzidid Loim Adavik Kiposhet Halisa Stam, he says no, he disagrees. Rabbi Yonason Steif Tayin is that no, that when you took off your talis, mistakenly thinking that Shachrus is over and there's no Musaf, then you realize oh, there's still Rosh Chodesh. He says no. The Bezem Bavo Bachrim the Nishal of Taskot Ein Tzelchav Rochayin. So first he starts off with the Svara that we saw from the Marsham. Masham said, no, you have those paiskim that hold. As long as you're wearing a talis katan, you never have to make a new brach. He wants to tell you, no. Why do you have to wear a talis by musaf if you already wore a talis by shacharis? The Teretz says, it's just covered. He says, no, maybe it's better not to put on the talis. Or maybe it's better to hit a brach from someone else. Maybe you could borrow a talis. So he's not so sure what to do. He says maybe it's better not to put a talus. Or maybe it's better to put on the shul's talus. Or maybe it's better to borrow a talus. Because who says you need a talus in the first place? And you're going to run yourself into a little bit of a shadow. So he's like back and forth over here exactly what to do. They asked the shout to Chaim Kanievsky. Apparently, I'm not the only person that it happened to. So I had someone ask Chaim Kanievsky that after Shacharis on Rosh Chodesh, he took off his talis and he forgot that there's Musaf. Does he have to put on, make a new brach? L'chayrut tzarech, says Chaim Kanievsky. He says, L'chayrut tzarech l'varech. But he says, V'tzarechin davi hesach adas b'tos. He says, maybe it's like a case of Hesach Adas Betos, which we saw like by the case of the Afikoimen. V'ayin shayna halachisim and tof ayin zayin, that's in Hilchos Pesach, yesh l'chalik, maybe it's not the same case, v'tzorachin. So Rabbi Chaim Kanievsky takes an unclear psak on this matter of what do you do in such a case. So, me personally, in my limited idea, I think it makes more sense to make a bracha. Again, you have the Debrei Tzinur Rav to be saying bechan, something brachas lahalka maybe, but I think it's more mistavra to say that you should have to make a bracha in such a scenario where you took off your talis, bita'os. Then they asked over here in the Sefer Sheva Takohasi, this is the Belzadayin, number 9, he says, what happens in this case? He's talking about a case of Hesach Adas, bita'os, lava Hesach Adas. Let's say when you make a mistake, some form of a toss, that Hesach Adas is not a problem. Let's say the Rosh Chodesh case. So he talks about a more creative case. What's his case? Someone asked him, two people go to the bathroom during davening, they each take off the talis, and accidentally they swap talis. It always happens. And everyone puts on the other talis. And then they realize, wait, this is my talis is cleaner than your talis. However, you realize whose is who. So now the shayla is tzarech levarech erev pamal vishes talisoy. Now you have to make a bracha on your talis. So he says, ach kiven shay hesach adas betos in name of the hesach adas in tzarech levarech. He says, well, if you hold, there's no such thing called hesach adas betos. You can't make a hesach adas if it was a mistake. Either the mistake was you didn't realize it was Rosh Chodesh, or the mistake is you didn't realize it's your talus. So mainly he thinks in such a scenario you would not have to make another bracha as well. But again, I think all of these cases there's a lot of room to argue and lumdus, but that's what he wants to paskin halacha l'maisa. So in that case, if you put on you go to the bathroom, you take off your talus, you put on someone else's talus, and then you want to put on, then you realize it's not your talus, you want to put your talus back on. He says you don't have to make another bracha. Or if you hold hesach adas if you hold hesach adas b'tos, he's not hesach adas. He holds you wouldn't have to make another bracha. Okay, so let's get back to our issue at hand. Our issue at hand was we have a machloikis mechabin ramah. When you take off your talis for a short amount of time, you have to make a new brach. According to the mechaber, you do. According to the ramah, you don't. So they asked Chaim Kanievsky a very classical shayla.
What's a short time?
Well, yeah, besides that, but what happens if you're in shul? Now, you have to remember, you know, we don't think about this so much, but, you know, before, you know, recently, Ashkenazim and Sfarim didn't daven in the same shuls. They didn't even live in the same countries. And if they did, they didn't daven in each other's shuls. They lived together, but it was very, very separate. Ashkenazim davened with Ashkenazim, Sfarim, there was very little mixing of the minyanim. Today, Baruch Hashem, every Sfarim and Ashkenazim all daven together. So he wants to know what happens like this. Let's say, for example, there's Ashkenazim and Sfarim davening together. So a boy needs a talis for an aliyah. So who should give him the talis? If the Sephardi gives him the talus, he's got to make another bracha. If the Ashkenazi gives him the talus, he doesn't have to make a bracha. So is there a cheshbon over here to who should you take the talus from? Is it better not to take it from the Sephardi? Because if you take it from the Sephardi, you're going to have to make him make a bracha. If you take it from an Ashkenazi, he doesn't need to make a bracha. So should you start cheshboning who should you take the talus from?
Say it's not a bracha.
So that's what Chaim Kanevsky answered. So he asked Chaim Kanevsky number 10. Now these are the types of questions he asked Chaim Kanevsky, right? This tapakti. The ben svarad anoy kedatz amechabish and spal and bnei Ashkenaz, right? Ashkenaz and svarim davening together. Ubo koyin lishlamim eno atalz of brichas koyin. Again, this is fair to Israel, but we'll just change the case for America that the boy gets an aliyah, right? So someone needs a talis to use a middle shul. Hey, meet in loy. Is it better to give him? Oy the odiv sheishtamish bimenu va'koyin lishlamim bnei Ashkenaz. So should the Sephardi say to himself, no, I don't want to take it off because then I don't have to make another bracha. Take it from the Ashkenazi guy. He doesn't have to make a bracha. Is there any mile of such a cheshev? So Reb Chaim Kanevsky answered, Yitin lo v'yachzi v'varch. Right? Michael's mechamet to Reb Chaim Kanevsky, right? What's the big deal? Take it off and make another bracha. Big deal. What do you have to lose? That's the way we paskin. Now it's interesting, Reb Shlomo Zalman writes in the bottom, number 11, he says, V'sipa Rabbeinu, Reb Shlomo Zalman told us, Shebetziu Rasoi, when he was younger, Hoyimazer HaKoyhanim Shebeisek Nesh, Shoyilita Talis Mispalo Sfardi Yishayisham. He used to tell everyone, don't take Talisim from Sfardim. Why? Nechshash, Shalo Eni Yadei Hadin, Shalafidas HaMachaber, Olav Levarach Shukim Shvizatev Bo. He said, maybe, you know, you're giving everyone a lot of credit. Right, Sfaradim might, again, especially now where Sfaradim and Ashkenazim live together, a lot of Sfaradim pick up halacha from the Ashkenazim. So the Sfaradi doesn't realize that when he takes off his talis, he needs to make another bracha. So it's better for you not to borrow the talis from the Sfaradi guy, because he's going to put it on without making a bracha. So Shlomo Zalman was worried about this. Shlomo Zalman was worried if you're going to give your talis to a Sfaradi, and he doesn't know Shulchan Aruch, he's not going to know that he has to make a bracha. So don't give it to him. Borrow from, get from an Ashkenazi.
By the way, is there anything more else? Again, I'm going back 40 plus years ago when I was running in Israel, I used to see a lot of Kohanim that lived in Israel that were single that had their own talisim.
Yeah, nothing wrong with it. Nothing
should
wrong.
They make a bracha?
Yeah, 100%. I think so.
Even though they're just putting it out for Berachas Kohanim?
Yes, that's what we spoke about in other shulim. That's a shaila. Many places come on makeup, but I know others are machmir. They say if it's
you. We're doing it only out of Kohanim.
And Echrami, but still your talis. It's your talis. It belongs to you. You should make a bracha. I think so. Yeah. I think, again, I think most...
No zman. In other words, if you just put on your talis for a minute or two, you should make the elisa
tzitzis. Again, others disagree. Many achrenim hold that's what all the shuls do today. When you put on a talis just to get an aliyah, to get hagbah, to get psich, they don't make a bracha. Others say no. If you're going to wear the talis, even if it's just for a short amount of time, you should make a bracha. I think kohanim, some do. That's just a practical thing. They don't want to have to borrow from someone.
Right.
But,
yeah,
the
guys didn't want to borrow. Right? Right, from someone else.
Right. I don't blame him. Yeah, but I think he should make a bracha. Then Reb Shlomo Zalman said, "Ulam achakach nizbar lo shloi nogu b'zeh asvadim kedatz mechaber." Very important. This is one of those examples you can mark down in your books of a mechaber which svadim don't keep. This is one of those mechabers that svadim don't keep. Even though it says in Shulchan Aruch that when a svadi takes off his talus, he has to make a bracha, even if it's immediately. It's just not what svadim follow. Why not? We'll have to get to. So Reb Shlomo Zalman said, "I don't have to be some." Reb Shlomo Zalman said, "I don't have to make such a big deal about it because even svadim don't pass in that way." So the truth is, they asked this to Reb Chaim Kanevsky later because Reb Chaim Kanevsky must have known this, right? So if so, what was the kasha before? So they basically said, "Yeah, he was going now before we knew that the svadim meaning." He was going, assuming that we paskin like the mechaber. But then they asked him, we paskin like, we'll see in a second, the kafachayim. He says not like that. Then he gave a different answer. But lemaisa svardim don't follow this halacha. So therefore it makes no difference who you take your talis from anymore. So if you look in the kafachayim, he writes, quoting from the Sefer Ben Ishchai, Da'af agav demoron svir le'levarech, even though the Shulchan Aruch paskin is clear as day, that you make a bracha when you take your talis off, even miyad, skaimulon sovik brachas lakal afilu negetz faras maron. But we don't pass in that way. We don't pass like the Mechaber in Shulchan Aruch. So if even a Sfaradi takes up a talis to go to the bathroom, would also not have to make another brach. So when a Sfaradi goes swimming, same shayla, so as Ashkenazim. So even though in Shulchan Aruch it seems to be Machlokes Mechaber Ramah, it doesn't practically play out to be that way because the accepted practice is to not follow the Mechaber. Shlomo Zalman writes the same thing. For some reason, this mechaber didn't become accepted. Okay, so even Svardim who take off their towels to go to the bathroom, they would not have to make another brach. And that's what it says in Yakut Yosef. It's permissible to lend out your talis to someone who wants to get an aliyah or to dochin. The acher aliyah save a torah el dochin machzir ben alav chayzim satabah. he'll give it back to you and you'll put it back on. And it's not a problem that you're putting it on without a bracha. Because that's not, we don't follow the Machab and Shulchan Aruch. So therefore says Yakut Yosef, it's not a problem. So Svarim and Ashkenazim are in the same boat over here.
How does this fit in? Didn't we learn a couple of weeks ago, when you're giving enough mina between tefillin and talis, so technically a talis you bring to the
yes, yes, yes.
But what's the half a mina to say that you should make a bracha? Because at the end of the day, you could technically wear it and it wouldn't be hesachadah.
No, but you took it off over here. Maisi here, you took it off.
Right, but technically you could have worn it, so it's not like you should be hesachadah.
What do you mean you could have? Maisi, you took it off. That ended the mitzvah. And Mr. Brew explained that, right? That when you took off the talis, that's the break of the mitzvah. So the Teretz is, since you plan on putting it back on, so that middle time doesn't consider, is not considered a hefsek. It's interesting, if you look at Moshe Shteinbach, number 15, he writes, Me'oilom, ani mishtadel lo lahashel l'zman kotzer atalos shali. I don't like lending out my talos for a short amount of time. Right, this happens all the time. Right? You're in shul, a guy gets an aliyah, he doesn't have a talos, so he gives me, we love to do chesed, we give our talos off right away. So he says, maybe not. Mashal says, why not? We just said, both the Mechaber and the Ramah, again, the Mechaber says what he says, but Svardim and Asa Ashkenazim, all Paskim, you don't make a bracha. So why would you be hesitant to lend out your talis? So Moshe Shtembech writes, Kivin Shaldasa Mechaber, Pasha Talisa, Filo Mesatif, Oid Pam Miyad, Chayv Levarech. Because of the Mechaber. Now we said that the Ben Ish Chai says, we don't Paskim like this Mechaber, but Moshe Shtembech said, no, Mechaber says in Shulchan Aruch that when you take off your talis, even for a minute, you gotta make another bracha. Aye, Frank Moshe Shtembech, aye, Vavshar Ramah Choylik. So, but the Ramah argues. But the Gropas was like the Mechaber. So why should I get myself involved in such a shayla? So there's an interesting chumra there. Moshe Shteinbach says about himself that he really tries never to lend that as talis because of this machloikis Mechaber Ramah. Even though we just got finished saying that it's not such a big machloikis because even the Sfarim don't follow the Mechaber. He writes, Avor Isi b'sefer emek bracha shemachem ma'oit. So he writes, Avol ha'olam le'nogul l'dak, but no one else is machped like this. This is only his personal chumra. He says that since when it's not on you, it's borrowed. You can't even do the mitzvah if you want it, because you just lent it out. So it's mamash a direct break in the mitzvah. You can obviously argue and say, what do you mean? But I can just borrow it back. Meaning, I gave it to you and I can take it back, right? There is no such real halach called backsies, right? So, but he wants to tie in that, no, maybe it's considered that it's like unusable, like in the bathroom, because I learned it out, it's now unusable. And therefore he thinks that maybe, you have to make another bracha, which is basically against the Ramah. Okay, so Ramah Shishdermach had an interesting practice over here, that he would not lend out his tiles because of the gra. Now again, it's interesting that even though the Mechaber says what he says, Svarim didn't follow this Mechaber halach lemais. And that's what he writes over in Yakut Yosef, 15b. If you look at Moshe Shteinbach on the top left corner, he writes, "Venira deloy domi l'tfilin klal shevet tfilin ain eroy beis akiz l'tfilin ulchein kishu sham have hesach das hefzik gomer avak kishu hishal atals roy oid karegel kaim ba mitzvah kishu magzira." He wants to tie in a lom the shesvar of Moshe Shteinbach. He doesn't like this emik brachas tushta. The emik brachas said that lending your towels is like going into the bathroom with your tfilin. They're both automatic by definition hesach das. Says Moshe Shteinbach, it's not so. Buy tefillin in the bathroom is a break. That's it. You can't have tefillin in the bathroom. That's a hesach adas. But he says over here, but it's roy to do the mitzvah. Because, like I mentioned earlier, you can always get it back from the guy. There's nothing fundamentally wrong with the mitzvah. It's just that, it's more of like, we'll call it a technical problem. You can't get the talis because you lent it out. Not because the talis is not warm, is not shaykh for the mitzvah. He throws in what we saw earlier, that you're wearing a talis katan. And since you're wearing a talis katan, there's even more room to be mako. Okay, so.
Can I ask you a question? Yeah. We got the tefillin. This is a separate thing. Once you mention, you got to take off your tefillin and you go to the bathroom. But let's say it's on a Monday or Thursday, and it's after laying. Should one, and they come back by before Asher Volatim, should they actually make the bracha or just leave it off at that point?
I don't know. I always think it's good to wear tefillin. You got to get a mitzvah. Long your way.
Should you make another bracha?
I think
even
so.
Even though it's like for 3 minutes or whatever it is.
I think it's 3 minutes for that. I think it's worth it.
So,
get a mitzvah.
So
unless you have gufnaki issues, unless you have your bathroom, you're worried about your stomach, you're worried about other things.
No, I'm saying you went to the bathroom.
I understand, but sometimes your stomach still hurts, you're having other issues, whatever. There are some people I know that mamash with film just for Shemana Esrei.
Okay. Just only for
that, that's all they can. They feel they can't give Gavnoki more than that. Oh. Some Rebbe was very machped like that. Okay, there are such people. But, you know, most of us are more, either we daven faster, or whatever you want to say it, or we're not so machped on Gavnoki. Some Rebbe met a person who said, the guy said his stomach is bothering him, so he'll say Karbonis until he's ready. Some Rebbe said, what do you mean? You can say Karbonis without a Gavnoki? Right? That was his sensitivity towards a Gavnoki. Most of us, we don't even say Karbonis, so it's not like it. But in any case, it all depends on your, you know, I think it's Kedai to put on tefillin for a few minutes. It's a Nacha Mitzvah. Okay, so let's finish up over here. So Halacha L'maaseh, what do we have? We have, well, we start off as Machlokes Mechaber Ramah might not necessarily be a practical, at least not for Sfaradim, but Moshe Shtemach is mitzayin to the Goyin, that the Goyin held like the Mechaber, that if you take your talus off even for a small amount of time, you would have to make another bracha. But by and large, the accepted practice seems to be like the Ramah, that if you take your talus off for a short amount of time, another bracha is not required. But now I want to talk about what's the time frame. How much is a short amount of time? So again, the bathroom is easy. Guy goes to the bathroom. You know, I remember when I was a Rebbe in high school, so back then they didn't have the advanced cell phones like we have today. They still had those iPods. So you used to know a kid used to go into the bathroom for exactly 28 minutes. What was 20 minutes? That's how long the show was. The TV show they was watching in the bathroom was 28 minutes. He'd come back after 28 minutes. He was back in class. Okay, so you know how long he went to the bathroom for. But let's say, you know, a typical guy goes to the bathroom. It's a few minutes, whatever it is. So that's not a hefsek. The shaila, let's say, this is what we were supposed to talk about 4 weeks ago, is a guy goes swimming. Nope, guy goes swimming. So he takes off his towel, cutting to go swimming. Now he comes back after, and I don't know how long people stay in the pool. To me, it gets boring after a few minutes, but okay, let's say it's 2 hours, right? So does he make a new brach? Now you can't even start to tell me all the kulas that we learned earlier that, oh, his talus katan is still on. His talus katan is not still on. Well, let's say, for example, we'll keep it in the case of talus. Let's say a guy takes off his talus after davening. This is grad of Erinigay. Let's say a guy takes off his talus after davening Shabbos morning, and he goes to Kiddush, and he goes to a shir, and he learns with his chavrusa, and then he wants to put his talus back on to take it home, because he doesn't like to carry, because he went to the Erevin series over here, and he knows that it's questionable. So he decides he's going to wear it. Does he have to make a bracha when he puts that talus back on? A lot happened in those 3 hours. The guy had a kiddush, he had a shir, he got in a fight with someone, he spoke Lashon Hara for an hour, right? What does he do now when he puts the talus back on? So if you look in the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, this is a very important Shulchan Aruch HaRav. Writes the Shulchan Aruch HaRav. He says, when you took off the talus, you had no intention of putting it back on. Till after many hours. What's many hours? Says the Shulchan Aruch Rav, Oz. Then, this is what we saw already in Mishnah Berurah. Again, if you had das to keep it off for what the Shulchan Aruch says, kama shois, that's the Hesach das, no matter what happens after that. Says the Shulchan Aruch, very important words. The deciding factor is kamashois. That's the deciding factor. How many is kamashois? Kamashois in English translates to many hours. How many hours? So if you look at the next stick from the Shulchan Aruch, he writes, let's say the reverse case. You took off your talus, you planned on putting it on right away. You forgot. Again, the magical words. Then you have to make another bracha. But what are kamoshois? What are many kama, few, many hours? What exactly is the number according to the Shulchan Aruch HaRav? So if you look over here in Halicha Shloima, by Shlomo Zalman Orbach, he writes, HaPoish Talisa El Daite Lachze V'Lovshe. The guy takes off his talus with the intention of putting it back on. Afilo Nishto Es Man Meruba. It stays off for a long time. In a Chayzim Avarach Achiyav Gimel Shois. So the Shlomo Zalman, 3 hours, that's the cutoff. Meaning that's the way he understood the Shulchan Aruch HaRav. When he says Kamoshois, Kamoshois means 3 hours. So it's Mamash O'clock. You take your talus off at 12 o'clock, you have till 3 o'clock. After 3 o'clock, you got to make another bracha. So you go swimming, you take your talus cutting off at 10 o'clock, so if you're in the pool for more than 3 hours, got to make another bracha. He writes in the bottom, V'ayin shom shalosh shoynoi beiz v'gimel shois. Ulam heishiv rabbeinu l'shoyel dafilu gimel avdafka, v'uadin liyesem v'gimel, v'akol lefi inyan. And the Shlomo Zalman himself said, maybe even that's not necessarily etched in stone. It's not a din in 3, a din in 2. It depends on the situation. Now, why should it depend on the situation? So the answer is because it's all totally in Hesach Hadas. That's really the deciding factor. It's not about hours, not about minutes. It's about Hesach Hadas.
Does anyone think that it makes a chilek? In other words, when you said, let's say, Shabbos morning, and then you wait an hour or two, you're only putting your talis on to walk back home. Good. You shouldn't really make a bracha.
Let's see. We'll talk about that. We're going to see one of those svaras in Nachrayim. We'll get to hopefully sometime.
If you're not, like, not to make a bracha and talis katan in the morning because the talis katan, right?
Right.
And now you go swim, and then you go, okay, finish whatever you're going to swim in. You take off your talis katan.
Right.
Does that... Yeah, and let's say you waited, the time, 3 hours passed, whatever.
Right, right.
The fact that you didn't say the bracha initially and you relied on the
talis. No, I don't think that should change. No, I don't think it should change the halachas status, because that bracha was niftar with something else. But the question is, now I need a new bracha. So if you look in the footnote number 18 by Elisha Shloim, he quotes over here, where did he come up with this magical number 3 hours? With Nipshlam is amazing 3 hours. Who can move over Shochan Archaras? Sif Chav Test, the Zeus Shir Hefsik. Because that's what the Shulchan Aruch Rav said. Now, Shulchan Aruch didn't exactly say. He said, Kama Shois. I guess you could say, you know, 5 hours, also a few hours. Okay. Then he writes, Ulechein ledidon, the kaimel on the rack in nishto, v'esach adayit mevorech, lo yivorech elem ke nishto, shiz man ze. Because again, it has to be hesach adas, and hesach adas is 3 hours. U'mashikos, ba'aretz o'sechayim, the beis ha-merchatz havi hefzik, the ber aloch, kos on the aretz o'sechayim, that says that aretz o'sechayim was the Malbum. Malbim wrote on the Malbim, we all know as more of like a drush sefer, but the Malbim really wrote on halacha. He started in Chelek Aleph in Siman Aleph, and he stopped somewhere, I think, either in Hilchas Tzitzis or in Hilchas Tefillin. He never finished the whole story why he stopped, because he went to the Chassam Sefer for Shabbos once, and the lights go out, like by Shal Shuddah's time. There's no lights because they don't have electricity. They used to use candles. So he when they turned the lights back on, he was sitting in the Chassam Sefer seat by mistake. Was the God Lador. He was the Rav of the town. So he was so embarrassed, he took that as a sign that he should stop doing what he's doing, the Malbim, and he gave up halacha, he switched over to Drush. Okay, that's the story with the Malbim. But the Malbim, but he wrote a lot. So he says like this. He says...
So the Malbim wasn't a Risha?
Not the, I'm talking about... Am I getting the right person right? The Aretz HaChaim was the Malbim. Oh, the Malbim? No, I think we're talking about the same guy. The Aretz HaChaim. I always confuse him with the, not with the Klechem, the Malbim. No? I don't remember. Maybe I'm confusing it already. Then, I think there's, no, this is, this is.
The Malbim is one who writes and
Tanakh? I don't, the Malbim, I'm talking about the Malbim.
Right,
I think I'm talking about the, no, I'm not talking, no, I don't think that's what I'm talking about. But I don't think so. I remember. This is the story. Am I right? Am I confusing him with the Klechem? I always forget. Dan Plotzker. I don't know. I remember. Okay, so either way, the Aretz HaChaim writes a chiddush that in the bathroom it's a hefsek. So the question is, what are you talking about? The bathroom is 3 hours. You go to the bathroom for 3 hours. Today, a lot of people go to the bathroom for a long time because you can play on your phone for a long time. The bathroom is the only place I can get quiet in my house. So I stay there for a long time. My wife always says, if I could bring Swarm into the bathroom, I'd never come out.
You're right. The Malbim graduation was born in 1809. It was never in 1870. It's unbelievable.
Where do you think we get everything from? Yeah. I always get worried when I see the doctors Googling. That's when I get nervous. Yeah. But they do it. They do it. I've seen them.
By the way, they do it.
They do it a lot. I know a lot of very good doctors that do it. But the truth is, it's not a kasha, because you have to know, the godless of what the doctor knows, he knows what on Google to trust and what not to trust.
Right.
People call me with halacha shahs. They tell me, I Google X and Y. So I said, no, what did you find? So they'll tell me some far great website. So that doesn't count. If you come up with all, you know, you pull up a good site that has good information, I have no problem using it, you know. So it's just a question of you have to know how to navigate yourself on the Google search. Okay, in any case, but so the question is, I the bathroom. So he says no. It says Rav Shlomo Zalman. That's because back then bathroom was a whole experience. It took 3 hours in the bathroom. Again, if he's talking about the Beis HaMerchatz, talking about the bathroom or the shower or a bathhouse, whatever. Well, everything was a whole procedure. Then avada, you don't have to make another bracha when you take off your talis or your talis katan to go to the bathroom. Okay, so that's Rav Shlomo Zalman. So again, according to Rav Shlomo Zalman, it's 2-3 somewhere in the hour. It's again, it's a numbers. It's a mark. 2 hours, 3 hours. Okay, says the Yalkut Yosef. Guy takes off his talis al das to put it back on. He wants to go into the bathroom. He says it's a half an hour. Then if let's say you took it off al das to put it back on, he holds a half an hour. That's a big discrepancy between 2-3 hours of Ibrahim Zalman, but he holds a half an hour. Okay, that's Yakut Yosef's measure. How much time? So again, according to him, You're going to go swimming. You're going to get, usually your talus cutting is going to be off longer than a half an hour when you go swimming. Just to, you know, to take it off, you go to the pool, and you're there. So according to him, you'd have to make another bracha. While according to Rav Shlomo Zalman and the Shulchan Aruch Rav, you would not have to make another bracha. Now, they asked the Shaila to Rav Chaim Kanievsky, number 20. Misha Pasha Talisoi, V'omad Lov Shal Achazman, Mahu Shir Havsok. What constitutes a hefsik, even according to the Rav Moh, that would require another bracha? If you look at the Mishtabur, he never gives you a time. He says, Kamashois. So where does that leave us? Very good question to ask Rechaim Kanievsky. And he answers, Ein toli b'shois ela b'hesach hadas. Says Rechaim Kanievsky, it's not about hours, it's about mindsets. What's your mindset? I think when most people go swimming, they're not mesech das from their talisman. They know they have to get dressed when they get back. But again, what would constitute a hesach hadas? I think the case of, let's say, you know, the case with Atzol, the guy goes on Atzol call, he doesn't know when he's getting back. Hey, you know, you're going swimming for X amount of time. Or you, let's say you switch to, you know, you take off your tzitzis and you're doing an activity that's very sweaty, you're going to put it right back on afterwards. That's not a hesach hadas. You know, putting on right away, right after. Let's say you go to the bathroom, you take your tzitzis off to go to the bathroom. So they followed up with another question. Misha halach liyam. Mamish our case. Guy goes to the ocean. Umasir may all of atal's cotton. Hayim kishalov sha'achakach tzarech levarach. So I was waiting for Rechaim Kanievsky to tell him, who told you to take your talus off when you go into the water? But he didn't. Why do you take your talus cotton off when you go into the water?
It gets soaked.
So? And when you play ball, it also gets soaked.
That's right.
I'm still a stickle troubled with this question. Why is it so posh you don't have to wear your talus in the pool? Talus cotton in the pool?
Because it'll fall off and you choke and drown.
Okay. I don't know if that's 100% true either. Okay, maybe. Maybe some.
So
you have to probably say some svar. It's not derech levisha. But then that was the...
You think about shower muscles?
Right. I think the answer is then it's just not normal to wear like that. It loses the shame baggage. Right. So that which makes the argument that we started to talk about last week, when you sweat up, you know, profusely, maybe it's also not the derech to put on a baggage. That was what we spoke about last week, such an argument. That you got to put on, especially in the summer, if you got to put on wool. You got to put on wool to schwitz up. That's a bachal not a baggage. Okay, could be. Could be that somewhere along the argument. But
in the game of mine, so let's say, for instance, you say I go to... happens to me all the time.
Yeah.
I go to the gym. I can work from anywhere as long as I have my phone, right?
The American dream.
I can exercise for an hour. I can be there for 4.5 hours. Should I then make a bracha?
So we'll see what you should do in a second. We're going to get to the Ber Halacha.
In the meantime, you know, I'm making phone calls and emails and conferences.
Yeah, that's not Hesach Hadas. I've out of your mind.
The amount of time, in other words, I thought when I went to the gym, I was just going to exercise and shower and I'd be out in an hour.
Yeah.
And now it's 4 hours later.
Good. So according to Shlomo Zalman, you work with a clock. So if it's after two or three, according to Shlomo Zalman and Shulchan Aruch Harav, there's a clock. The clock is 2-3 hours. Okay, so after 3 hours, you have to make another bracha. According to Chaim Kanievsky,
like Ronnie said, assuming that you make that bracha in the first place.
No, he's saying.
What do you mean assuming you make a bracha in the first place?
Maybe if you make a bracha, I'll talus cotton. I'm talking about talus cotton.
I'm not sure what the difference is.
No. So you're saying a lot of people don't make a bracha on the talus cotton because they make it on the talus
cotton. No one should.
No one should what?
If you're going to put on a talus gadol in a few minutes when you wake up in the morning, you should not make a bracha on your talus cotton.
Not a few minutes, you go to shul.
Right, you should not make a bracha on your talus cotton, right?
Right. So
I think we have to discuss this. It's funny, a bunch of people asked me about this. Maybe we should really talk and do it next week. Okay, whatever, yeah?
So what I'm saying is, because when you put on your talus cotton in the morning, you had in mind your talus gadol.
Good.
But now you're taking it off for 3-4 hours.
Right.
So you still don't make it?
It's the same shayla. It's the same shayla. The fact that you didn't make a bracha directly on the talus cotton doesn't affect the shayla now. Shaila is
no, but that was because the Yitalos God was Yitzeh.
Right, that was a bracha. That was a bracha issue. It's not a mitzvah issue. The mitzvah is still you. So you started the mitzvah at 6 o'clock in the morning, and then at 12 o'clock you stopped the mitzvah by taking it off to go swimming.
Right.
The question is, did the mitzvah end or the mitzvah still continuing? So if the mitzvah end, you got to make a new bracha. If the mitzvah still continuing, you don't need to make a new bracha. So according to Shlomo Zalman, it's a clock. According to Rechaim Kanievsky, it's Mesiach Daiteh. Now you'll ask me what's considered Mesiach Daiteh. I'm not 100% sure. He writes to the words of Rechaim Kanievsky right back. He says, "If ain't Hesach Hadas, lo mevarchin." Okay, well, what's Hesach Hadas? Hesach Hadas means I would assume Hesach Hadas means that I know that I'm going to get, you know, I plan on getting dressed soon. I don't plan on going. And you know, let's say for example, you go to a water park. You're there a whole day in the water park. That's the whole experience. To be now, you can get separate from men and women. They go to American Dream. It's a big zach. Now everyone, the camps all rent out. The swimming pool, yeah, it's a very nice thing. My kids went over the different camps. A bunch of camps come together and they rent it all out, all boys and versus all girls. And it's a very, very, and even the lifeguards. They're makpid to have the right gender lifeguards. It's like a very nice thing.
And they close it off.
And they close it off to the outside. It's rented out by, I think, 900. They get 900,000 kids together. All different camps, different walks of life. Chassidim, Litvish. It's beautiful. That alone should bring Mashiach. In the water park, Mashiach should come. But in any case, it's like the kids like. They have a very good time. So there, I think it's posh. You don't have to make another, you have to make another brach. That's, you go into the park at 9 o'clock and you come out at 5 o'clock. Ein lecha hesach hadas. But you go swimming for a little bit. Again, it might depend how long you go swimming for. You can spend the whole day at the beach. You can spend the whole day at the beach. That could be Hesach Hadas also. So what's the answer? What do you do? So I think what you should do is like what the Be'er Halacha writes. The Be'er Halacha writes in number 21, to avoid all of these problems, do this. Okay, so the Be'er Halacha is Eitzah only works if you're actually awake when you're putting on your talis in the morning. You're conscious and you know what you're doing. That's step number one, which is not easy for many people, especially if you daven early. So the Be'er Halacha is Eitzah like this. When you put on your talis in the morning, your talis gadol. So you make a bracha on your talis gadol. You have in mind that I want this bracha to only be valid until I take it off. The moment I take my talis gadol off, I want the bracha to end as well. So tonight, therefore says the Be'er Halacha, then you can make a bracha without a problem. So let's say, for example, you know you're going swimming tomorrow. You know you're taking you know you're going to the gym tomorrow. So at Shachris, when you put on your talis gadol, you should have in mind when you make the bracha that the bracha should only go on the talis kotan as long as the talis kotan is on me. The moment I take it off, I need to make a new bracha. That's the eighth of the Be'er Halacha, which all the Achronim say is really a very nice way to solve this entire sugya. Okay, now. This Eitzah is also found in on Rosh Hashanah. Why? Because as we mentioned, Shmuel Kamenetsky writes like this in number 20 in the Sefer Kibbutz Halacha. He quotes from Shmuel Kamenetsky: "Misha Pasha Talisa B'Shas Havsaka." This is a classical example. Let's say you take off your talis for a break, either Rosh Hashanah or Yom Kippur. The Yatzmei Beis Hakneses, you leave Shul. Lo Yivarcha Lov Shenis Kishachoyz La Beis Hakneses. You don't make another bracha. The Chayz Yomisatev Ba. You Pashas don't make another bracha. Why? Because unless you're having, again, so on Yom Kippur, you get to have a very long break on Yom Kippur. Some shuls have a very long break on Yom Kippur. I don't know if they get more than 3 hour break, but Rosh Hashanah, I don't know anyone that has a 3 hour break on Rosh Hashanah. Even if you eat before Shavuot, it's not 3 hours, but okay. Let's say Yom Kippur. So then according to the Shulchan Aruch Rav, and according to Rosh Hashanah, you'd have to make another bracha. So he writes, Omnam, Kivin Shesh Bezeplukta Haderech Amuvchu Shebaboike Kishizvatabo. He says, since it's somewhat of a shayla, again, to me, Mechilas Kvoidei, I think if it's a very short break, it's not much of a shayla. Let's say, for example, Rosh Hashanah. So you have the main shul, and there's a basement. People go down to the basement to make Kiddush. That's Hesach Hadas. I don't know, for 5 minutes, how long is the break going to be? For a few minutes, that's Hesach Hadas. I don't know. I would think in that case it's not even a shayla. I think when you get into the tricky territories, when you're starting to get to, you know, advanced Hesach Hadas, 2 hours, 3 hours, things like that. But he writes that the best idea is to follow this Be'er Halacha. Then you can make a bracha without a shayla. To me, I'm not sure why. I think, you know, I would think that when you're only out for a few minutes, it's not a shayla. But it's interesting, in the footnote, Rabbi Forsheimer points out, he wants to think there should be a chilek between Mishiyotza Leilich Lebesoy, or Mishiyotza Lecheder Ho'ichel Asamuch Lebesak Nesses, Kem Yeshivas. He wants to tell him, maybe it should depend on where the break is going to be. If the break is you go down to another room in the shul versus when you go to another place. The only thing I can think of is that it's some svar of Hesach Hadas. You go home, that's already Hesach Hadas. Mashiach, you go to the, you know, the outside hallway to get a little bit to eat. That does not constitute a Hesach Hadas. So they asked Reb Chaim Kanevsky about this, but they asked him with a twist, right? Every shot of Reb Chaim Kanevsky is always with some twist. You see, this is why they dray these people around. I feel terrible for them. But in any case, they asked Reb Chaim Kanevsky, but this is really, I think, a good child. He says, let's say, for example, you learned the sugya tonight. You know that this Be'er Halacha says that you should make a somewhat of a tonight. So he says, do I have to do this every single day consciously, or I can do it once and like kind of rolls on its own? That's an interesting question. So he writes number 23. The best eitz is what? To make a t'nai in your head that the bracha only goes until I take off the baged. He goes, let's say I do this every single day. And one time I forgot to think it. Let's say the guy works out 5 days a week. So 4 out of the 5 days he has that intention, and the 5th day he just forgot. So they wanted to know, do we say stoma al daitim in hago mevarech? Do we say that he's thinking mistoma is the same way he always did it? And if Chaim Kanevsky says, yes, you're talking. You can assume like that. And since this is normal the way he does it, he thinks that that would be okay as well. So let's look at it. So if you taka become rogel and thinking this, meaning, let's say every single day you think this, then the chayra, even if you forget one day, it's possible you assumed like that anyways. So we still didn't. So again, so halacha l'maisa, back to the swimming pool shayla. So halacha l'maisa, the best thing would probably be is in the morning when you put on your talis gadol, have in mind that you want the bracha only to go until you take it off. Then you can make it. Then you could for sure make a bracha. Or if you're going to be out of the pool for you're not in the pool for so long, then the chayra you should be able to make a bracha. The last thing that we need to talk about is the shayla of the talis falling off. What happens if the talis falls off versus the case of where you take it off? So we'll see. Interestingly enough, if you look in the Shulchan Aruch says differently than that. Number 25, give people time for Ma'ariv. The Mechaber writes, "Im naflo talisa shaloi b'meschavin v'choyze u'ma'atif." Let's say a person has the talis falls off without intention. V'choyze u'ma'atif, he puts it back on. Tzarech levarach, he needs to make a bracha. V'hu shenaflo kula, that's only if the whole talis falls off. Aval emloi naflo kula, but if the whole talis didn't fall off, aval pi shenaflo rubin, if most of the talis fell off, eino tzarech levarach, he doesn't have to make a bracha. So the Shulchan Aruch seems to say, and you see this sometimes in shul, the talis slips off, you have to make a bracha. But you'll never see people actually making that bracha. Shail is why. So Pashup Shail is because Amaratis. Not everyone knows every Mechab in Shulchan Aruch. But we'll see, but I guess we'll have to wrap this up. Belined, we'll talk about this next week. We'll see that this is not so Pashup. And then the last topic, again, Belined, the next week should be the last week on talis. I want to talk about the wearing of the Atara, which is always very touchy, especially you get a new son-in-law, you take him to buy a talis, and the question is, yeah, that Atara, no Atara, should you wear an Atara, what's an Atara? And then we'll also talk about, believe it or not, what exactly is the bracha you're supposed to make when you put on your talis gadol. Now, you look in the siddur, and you look in the poiskim, we'll see, it might not necessarily be the same thing, and if we have anything left over for next week, maybe we'll just talk about this idea of not making another bracha on your talis katan and talis gadol in the morning that we keep on mentioning. But believe it or not, the next week should hopefully be our last sugya on tzitzis. Mr. Shem, tomorrow night, we're going to do the Chumash on Zoom tomorrow night. Next week doesn't work out for me. Tomorrow night, Blinader, 8:30. Mr. Shem. Okay.
8:30, you want to have the
Zoom? Yeah, Mr. Shem. Hi, Moshe, how are you?
Good, thank you, Rabbi.
Have a good night, Moshe.
Did David end up going on it yet?
I did not see him on it at all.
Okay, because he had asked me, and then that's why I went on, because he said you want to go on Zoom, and then you didn't even go on.
So, Mr. We'll finish that up, and then we'll finish up.
I'll tell you, Rabbi, we'll talk later. I was in late today.
Oh, yeah, Kiddush. Okay,
yeah, let me tell you something. There's a lot of learning in like we've even been as much.
Baruch Hashem. That's what we want to hear.
Yeah, it's not 5 times.
There's a lot of learning here also.
What?
There's a lot of learning here also in the 5 times.
Yeah, did I tell you, by the way, yeah, I saw your parents last night. Did they tell you?
I did not speak to them.
They were leaving.
That sounds about right, yeah.
Yeah.
I
slept over.
Yeah, you tell me. Good idea. Okay, everybody.
Yeah. Are you going down tomorrow?